Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business here on Fine Music Radio. The SAPOA convention at Sun City is always the big diary date for South Africa's property professionals, and this year is certainly no different. Listed property may not grab headlines like gold counters at the moment, but quietly, the sector has been rebuilding a lot of momentum, up over 14% year to date. And even after last year's stellar 36% return, there are some that believe we've still got good times ahead. Ian Anderson, head of listed property at Merchant West Investments, has been coming to SAPOA since the mid-90s, and he's with us again with Alistair Anderson, editor-in-chief of Property Flash, from the convention floor, more like probably the hotel bedroom floor, to help us make sense of the mood and the numbers and where the opportunities are. Ian, great to have you back with us. I believe you've been attending SAPOA since what, 1996?
Well, maybe not SAPOA, but I've certainly been analyzing the listed property sector since 96 when Marriott launched the Marriott Property Equity Fund.
Wow.
Which was really the first vehicle that allowed the man in the street to invest in listed property.
Almost 30 years. I mean, what feels different about the atmosphere this year? But I was picking up from Itumeleng that the mood seems more buoyant. Are you picking that up as well?
Absolutely. And I think it's got to do with the fact that for the first time in a long time, the stars are aligning for a lot of property businesses in South Africa. You've got the tailwinds now of lower interest rates. We've seen vacancies come down in a lot of sectors. Even in office, we've seen a reduction in vacancy levels. There seems to be investor appetite. So companies are being able to raise equity capital at reasonable rates. Obviously, bond yields have fallen substantially, which means that debt capital is a lot cheaper as well. And the combination of all of those things is pointing to higher distributable earnings growth and dividend growth in the years ahead. And that's always a very good sign for the listed property sector.
And tell me, Ian, I mean, we've had good results coming out. As you say, I think people are hopefully starting to do deals. We're also running out of year, though. It's, you know, it's 2026 or soon. I'm just wondering, could we see some consolidation perhaps among stuff that may be listed, you know, years back, even before the crisis, we had a resilience table potentially emerging, or is that a bit of a way off?
I think that's still a way off. Look, there are a couple of companies that have cross holdings. You know, I think of what James Templeton has been doing with Emira and SA Corporate and Accelerate. And so there might be scope in businesses where there's already a relationship. You know, Fairvest, Dapula, also Fairvest has a stake in Dapula, but I noticed that they didn't participate in Dapula's most recent capital raise, which suggests that they've probably got other plans. So I don't think the next phase of growth for the sector is going to be consolidation. I do think that the next phase of growth will be raising equity capital from the market and then deploying that capital by buying, you know, shopping centers and office properties. Maybe not office properties. I think that's maybe a bit too early, but certainly adding to warehouse exposure and retail exposure across the sector.
And, you know, it really reinforces our last chat, Ian, where you highlighted our lower funding costs were giving REITs that real firepower again. And clearly, after a week of debates there at Sun City, that story has strengthened somewhat. But back in June, you argued that the fundamentals were overtaking pure interest rate momentum. Did the updates this week confirm that for you? Are we now seeing kind of hard evidence of NOI growth and improving occupancies and rental reversions across the board?
Absolutely. I remember chatting to one or two younger analysts a couple of years ago, and they'd only ever experienced negative reversions. They didn't realize that these property companies can actually have positive rental reversions. And I think people are seeing that that's the case now. So there are, as I mentioned, one or two subsectors, one or two geographies where there will still be negative reversions, particularly on longer leases. But by and large, we're seeing positive reversions. And I think the big thing is filling vacant space, because that's the biggest plus that the property companies can do to generate higher distributable earnings growth, is fill that vacant space. So, yeah, a combination of all of those factors. And it was borne out in all of the trading updates and the results that we've seen. You know, we're not talking of 7, 8, 9, and 10% forecast growth. You know, that's a lot higher than we've had in the last 5 or 6 years.
And I guess it's important because, you know, a rally driven by fundamentals is far stickier than one that just relies on rate expectations alone. Al?
So I suppose my question is, there's a lot of positivity. Of course, you know, at the conference, people are looking at the bright side of things. I'm just wondering, what could potentially derail the sector you know, 5 years in from now? And what could it look like in 2030 if things work out?
Yeah, so I mean, I think one of the major themes that came out of the conference is the fact that municipalities remain a major obstacle for development, for progress, and those need to be sorted out. And that was a common complaint across, you know, almost every panel that was talking about the future. And obviously, SAPOA, it's all about the future. Where will we be in 2 years' time, or where will we be in 5 years' time? I think the fact that a lot of these companies want to grow, they want to expand, but they just don't have the confidence in municipalities to provide them with the necessary services in order to do that. So I think that remains the biggest obstacle. And it probably goes to another one, which is the political landscape. Right now, we've got a little bit of political stability, but we've got local government elections next year, and a lot of things can change. You know, the DA has been growing slowly. The MK is a major unknown factor in the next round of elections. The yeah. ANC has been losing ground and will continue to lose ground. And that could change the playing fields quite dramatically for property companies. So, you know, between the municipalities and the politics, I think those are the two major risks. But the one positive, I think, is that we are moving, in my opinion, to a perpetually lower bond yield environment because of the move to a lower inflation target. So I think our bond yields are going to stay lower for longer, at least in terms of their history, and that will be positive for property for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that certainly lowers hurdle rates. What do you think then of this decision to be a bit more active about local government, the new municipal awards, and creating that incentive to help move the needle somewhat? One gets the sense that business has been trying to turn around local government as best as it can, you know, without being in political power. It's very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think any initiative to encourage better discipline from municipalities, better behavior from municipalities, calling them out when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, rewarding them, or at least acknowledging them when they are doing the right things. And you know, speaking to some of the people at the conference, it's clear that there are municipalities that the property sector loves working with, where there are positive strides. And it's not just the DA municipalities. I think that's also a misconception. There are municipalities, you know, run by the ANC, run by other parties throughout the country that are making positive contributions and helping their communities, but definitely recognizing the ones that are doing it and pointing fingers at the ones that aren't. I think that is a step in the right direction.
I've got to come back on the governance and trust issues that, really were all over the sector after the 2018 governance scandal, shall we call them, and there were so many of them. I mean, is there a sense here that the culture has genuinely shifted? I mean, we had the Mass story recently. Well, are investors still asking hard questions about things like transparency and trust, Ian?
I think that's still an issue. It hasn't gone away, and people won't forget some of the things that happened in the sector over the last decade or so. But there has been a concerted effort by the sector to improve governance and to improve transparency. The SA REIT Association is obviously doing a lot of work behind the scenes to try and commonalize the reporting standards so that everybody is reporting on the same metrics. Because right now, there are still some metrics that are used by the industry where it's left to the management teams to interpret how those numbers should be calculated. So distributable earnings, for example, you know, you can capitalize interest or not capitalize interest. You can put some things through, and it's up to management team and they all to decide what goes in and what doesn't. But with things like, you know, REIT FFO and other and REIT NAVs, that's making it a lot easier for investors to compare businesses and the metrics. But I do think governance, you know, there's still improvements to be made. But at least we're moving in the right direction.
And Ian, I mean, if you look at the sector, you talk about young people, only seeing negative reversion. I suppose we want to get more young people into the sector. I'm wondering, how do we get them in? You know, do they kind of need to see that they can make a lot of money doing interesting deals? You know, do they need to list a fund that buys the CTICC or a stadium? I'm just wondering, are we going to have creative companies coming out in the next few years in property, or is it more about consolidating what's there in front of us?
Okay. I've always looked at property as maybe an older person's game, given that it's, you know, the income story is very important. So I think younger investors are looking for capital growth, and that's not something that you would normally expect to get a lot of from the property sector. We did it in sort of 2000s, and that was because of that very, very low cost of capital, these companies trading at a premium to net asset value, being able to raise equity capital at very attractive prices, and then deploying those proceeds into assets and through that process generating, you know, significant value. So I think that's part of the problem for the property sector now, is that that perceived sexiness is probably gone. However, having said that, you know, these companies are investing outside of South Africa, which is attractive to any investor in this country. There are problems with some of their offshore investments, but by and large, the sector has done a good job of geographically diversifying their portfolios. But we must just bear in mind that the sector is very small today in the greater scheme of things, being just 2 to 2.5% of the JSE, whereas 7 or 8 years ago it was more than 6% of the JSE.
Yeah,
people want to invest in gold and platinum now, you know, that's where they're, and Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of other things that have become a lot sexier than property. And it makes it difficult to encourage investors.
That's where we're going to have to leave it. That was Ian Anderson, head of listed property at Merchant West Investments, joining us from the SAPOA convention at Sun City. And I think a very clear message. The listed property sector has repaired its balance sheet, largely regained its firepower, and is once again looking outward with growth ambition. Stay tuned. More Classic Business after this.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.